very intimidating to stand at this pulpit and to say that you're going to teach and preach after all that's gone out over here. When I came in this morning, I went up to Pastor Lee and we talked a bit, and he prayed over me. And in the words of his prayer, right at the beginning, he spoke the title of this message, and I was overwhelmed by God's goodness. Out of my lack of confidence, out of my feelings of inadequacy, out of how small I felt and how unworthy I felt to do this, the Lord reached out and said, in all of these things, I am it. I am more than enough. I am the one. I will carry you. And what comes out will be from me. And it just gave me such a rest. I'd like to pray before we start. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your love, for the power of God that you have wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead and have brought us into this blessing and into this kingdom, into the glory of God. Thank you, Lord, for filling us with your Holy Spirit, that each of us can minister as priests and kings before you in the kingdom of God. What a glory and an honor it is to be with you and to be with one another. We praise you. We honor you, Lord. We lift you up. And we say that you are the one. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. And I'd like to go where we've been reading in the book of Isaiah. This would be maybe about a week ago in our reading, but in Isaiah chapter 32, a couple of verses here. And in verse 17 of Isaiah 32, it says, "The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever." And those are the words that Pastor Lee prayed over me this morning. He prayed that there for peace, for quietness, and assurance. Those words, wow, that really got me. You know, now is a time of disquiet. It's a time of fear, of unrest, of insecurity, and the work of righteousness is peace, and the effect of righteousness is that quietness and that assurance. That's where our quietness and our assurance, the effect of righteousness brings forth that. The work of righteousness brings forth peace. In verse 18, "And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places." And the whole world can be literally burning down and there be trouble in the streets. But we can dwell in a peaceable habitation. And our habitation is in the Lord. That is our peaceable habitation. Our refuge will always be in him. And there is no amount of worldly preparation that we can do that we can know that our dwelling made of brick and wood and stone, that can be a peaceable habitation. But we always know that he is our peaceable habitation. He is the place that we can live and know that we are secure, know that we can dwell quietly within. We're not all like this on the inside, and we know that we can have that confidence, that assurance of whose we are, in other words, to whom we belong, and who we are in him. We always have that assurance, no matter what is going on out there. It is where we are to dwell. We are to dwell in that righteousness. So the question is, where is our righteousness? Well, our righteousness is in Christ. While we're here in Isaiah, if we would look at Isaiah 26 and in verse 3, a very familiar verse. Thou, God, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, or whose thoughts is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. When we have our thoughts stayed on him, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Those thoughts staying on him bring forth that faith, and that brings forth peace in our life. He keeps us in perfect peace when our minds, our thoughts are stayed on him. And there's a lot of things competing for our attention. There's a lot of input out there, more now than there ever has been in the history of man. You know, all this, there's media pouring things out there. People have it on their phones. You know, we can pick up our phones at any time and get more information than we could take in a lifetime just at the push of a button. But it says that he will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, whose thoughts are in him. Which makes me think of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. You know, you Bible students, that I would be reading verse 8, but we will start really in verse 6, which is, be careful for nothing. Don't be full of care, weighed down with cares for anything. Don't be anxious for anything. There's so many things shouting at us to be anxious, to have anxiety over what's going to happen next. Where is it going to happen next? When is it going to happen? When's it going to start? When's it going to stop? Who's going to do what? Who's going to be elected? Who's not going to be elected? Anything like that. Be anxious for nothing. But, so what do we do instead of being anxious? When that rises up in us, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Prayer and supplication are specific requests. We make specific requests in our lives for, it says to pray for our government and our leaders, to make specific requests for those that we know that are in need of healing, of God's intervention in their financial life, their family life, in any of those things. And we make those requests with thanksgiving, with a thankful heart. Let your requests be made known unto God. When you do that, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do I ever find myself, do you ever find yourself where your heart and your thoughts are away from him? And I will say yes, it happens all the time. But when I let my request be made known unto God, with thanksgiving, the peace of God will fill my heart. It passes all understanding. It's not something that I can just grasp like that. But by making my request known with prayer, with thanksgiving, then my heart and my mind is kept through him. It's kept in Christ. You know, Christ is in me. He's in you. Are you in Christ? You know, is your heart and mind, your heart and your thoughts, are they in him? I think that's a checkup question that we need to make at all times. Is my heart and my thoughts, are they in him? Are they through Christ? And then finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And here we have a mandate to do something, to actually do something with our thoughts. And we have been brought up, at least in our culture, to think that our thoughts just happen to us. They come in this way, they're like a train, or they're like traffic or something, and they just, oh, you know, they're just coming through. Here comes another thought, boom, you know, boom, shoom, thoughts. And they do come and go, but we are given a mandate to think certain things. We are able to direct our thoughts into the grace of God, into His supply, the things that are lovely, the things that are of good report. We are able to direct them there. I mean, open your Bible. In this reading program that we have, every day we find ourselves in the Word of God, and putting myself prayerfully before the Word of God directs my thoughts. It directs my heart and my thoughts into Christ. Does it every time. You know, I'm not reading it to gain information. I'm reading it to be in Him, to speak with Him, to have Him to speak with me. That's why we open the Bible, is to have conversation with Him, to open our ears to hear what He's saying to us, because He is, by the Holy Ghost, speaking to your heart when you open the Word of God before you. That's what it's about. Amen. Back in, well, one more verse. So those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul says, do those things, and the God of peace shall be with you. So back here in Isaiah, where we were, but in chapter 28, very interesting verses here. Chapter 28 and in verse 11 says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing,' yet they would not hear." Now, there are different interpretations of what this might mean, but I think it is, among other things, a clear reference to what was to come. It's clear to us now, but it was hidden in the scriptures of the Old Testament, that the gift of tongues would be given. With stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, and he calls that a rest. This is the rest wherewith he may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. And when I'm feeling stale, or when I'm feeling unrested, this is something I do. I will close my eyes and I will pray in the Spirit. I will pray in tongues and allow that rest of God to come over me. Allow Him to refresh me in my spirit. And He's faithful to do that. He's given us that gift for a reason, for, you know, something to use in our lives, for our blessing, for our communication with Him and His communication with us. It says that when we're praying in tongues, that He's speaking in our spirit divine mysteries. He's speaking, it says, the wonderful works of God. And He's speaking in our spirit to us divine mysteries. He's talking to us and about Him, things that we may not even know. Things that are locked up in us that we haven't been able to talk with Him about. He comes to us in the Spirit and talks with us. And before we get off that subject, Jude, if you look at Jude, and right before the book of Revelation, and Jude is addressing things that are happening right now. And I won't go through the whole 20-some verses of the book, but right here, if we pick up, it sounds very familiar. Verse 18, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time. They should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Doesn't that sound familiar? You know? These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. And you can read all the verses that precede that, but you see all these things happening. And the thing that he tells us to do when things are looking like this, when it's looking like it is now, when it's looking like Jesus is coming back at any moment, he says, "But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. It says in 1 Corinthians 14 that when you pray in tongues, it edifies you. It builds you up. It edifies you. It makes you stronger spiritually. So in this time when things are crazy out there, and there's a lot of input coming in on us, and there's unrest, and there's fear, and there's a lack of confidence, there's a feeling of insecurity coming in, He has given us this gift that we can be built up, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, producing faith in us, praying in the Holy Ghost. And that's what we do on the inside. And we keep ourselves, verse 21, in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And then as we are ministered to in this way, with praying in tongues and in the love of God and looking for Jesus, then we reach out. On some, have compassion, making a difference. On others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. So we prepare ourselves that way, and we are edified. We're built up on our most holy faith. It gives us what we need to reach out and to pull one out of the fire. On others, to have compassion, to show them that mercy, and to draw them by the goodness of God. You know, that's what these times are. They're crazy times. Now, I haven't seen one of these bumper stickers in a while, but I used to see them. It said, "Jesus is coming back. Look busy." Anybody ever see that? I know it's kind of bad. And it is kind of, you know, and it's a little bit funny, too. A little bit scary funny, but it's a little bit funny. But I think there is, that's where Satan would like us to go. He's coming back and it's looking bad out here. Do something, you know, to get sort of rattled up. Wendy and I listened to or watched a YouTube of a pastor out there somewhere. I couldn't even tell you his name, who said he'd had some dreams and saw them fulfilled. And then he had some other dreams and wanted to talk about what he believed was about to come. And what I got out of it at the end was not to be stirred up in my faith, honestly, but to be stirred up in my fear. You know, the reaction that it pushed me toward is, well, I need to buy guns and ammo. You know, I need to store up food and all this sort of thing. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do these things. I think you should do the things that your faith dictates. You know, what you know, how God is working with you, and what your faith dictates. But we're not to be led into unrest. We're not to be led into, gotta do something. That's not where He wants to bring us. The work of righteousness is peace. The effect of righteousness, it says, is quietness and confidence. That is the effect of it. Is it having that effect on you? That's what I'm asking. Is the righteousness of God affecting you like this? It can, it should. Where is our peace? Where is your quietness? Where is your assurance? It's certainly not in the published infection numbers, death rates. It's not in Trump or Biden or whoever else, or, you know, in politics in general. We're certainly not going to find confidence or assurance or quietness there. There's a lot of shouting voices with that, right? But it says in Ephesians 2 that Jesus, He is our peace, who hath made both one. Now, I know He's talking Jew and Gentile, but I'll say, you know, Democrat and Republican, if you want to call it that, or any other this and that. He's made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And he is our peace. He is our peace who have made both one. We are part of the family of God, and he, our Lord, is our peace. He is our righteousness. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says that he, Jesus, is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He's made those things. He doesn't just give us righteousness. He doesn't just, you know, bing, righteous. But he becomes righteousness unto us. He's made unto us righteousness. We become different people. We're not the people we used to be. And the righteousness of God is part of now who we are in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him, Jesus, God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, that we might be made that. That's who we are. It's the stuff that we're made of. And the work of righteousness, then, is peace. There's no reason for us not to be in the peace of God. And the effect of righteousness is quietness and confidence, as it said in Isaiah. In Psalm 20, all right, well, now that I'm up here for the first time, it's not so bad. All right. Okay, Psalm 20 and in verse 7, I think this applies. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now, for them, chariots and horses were what we might say are tanks and artillery, you know. In other words, the weapons of war, you know, the carnal weapons of war. But, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Some do trust in chariots. Some trust in armament. Some trust in military. Some trust in that kind of worldly might. But we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Amen. That's where it comes from. That's why we are able to walk in peace no matter what is coming down. And we don't know what's coming down. God knows. But we know that our names are written in the Lamb's book of life, and that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and we will dwell with him forever. Praise God. That gives me an assurance of where I am and where I'm going. And I'm able to walk in the peace of God, therefore. I'm able to live that quiet and peaceable life it talks about. On the basis of Jesus' care for us, in Psalm 20, we were at verse 7. Verse 8, they are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Even if we, as the Bible calls it, fall asleep in Christ, we will be risen and stand upright. That's what made me think of, you know, of the declaration that Job made, that I will stand upon my feet and I will see him with my own eyes. You know, I will be with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In verse 1 of Psalm 20, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Zion being his dwelling place, which today is his church. That is where he dwells. It says that we are builded together for a habitation of God. That's where he lives. He lives in us, the church. And he will strengthen us out of Zion, out of the church. That's why it's so important that we're gathered here. And I praise God for every person who is here. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. He does remember our offerings and our burnt sacrifice, the sacrifice of Christ. When he sees us, that offering and that sacrifice of Christ, his life, given for us, for our sins. He sees that. He remembers that. He knows that when he looks at me. There's no other offering or sacrifice that I could give that can put me in that stead at all. I will only ever be far away, but he gives us that offering and that sacrifice for our sins. Glory to God. Glory to God. And in Isaiah chapter 30, and I will just say once again, you know, the scriptures from this message, most of them have come from our reading program that we've been doing, and they just kind of lodged there, you know, they kind of stuck. And it says that the Holy Spirit will bring these things to your remembrance. Whatever it is that he wants you to remember, he'll bring it up. Well, that's where these things came from. So Isaiah chapter 30, it'd be nice to give him something to bring up. In other words, if you put something in, then he can bring it up to you, right? So Isaiah 30 and in 15, it says, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and you would not." Instead, people just wanted to get busy. You know, it's in that quietness and that confidence that we're able to reach out to the nations, to reach out, and I'll say it another way, to hurting people who need Jesus. It's in quietness and in confidence, not in franticness. It's an urgency, but it's not frantic. It's an urgency, but it's not fear. And it's certainly not trying to gain God's support by doing the right thing. Jesus already did that. He gained God's support by doing the right thing for us. And it's and that's how we have his righteousness. The work of righteousness is peace. The effect of righteousness is quietness and confidence. Don't you want that? Yeah. Amen. And we'll close with a couple of verses here. One in Psalm 118. When we had those reading assignments, I was glad they broke up Psalm 119. That would have been a long day. Psalm 118 and in verse 8. And I'd just like to encourage us to watch who and what we're listening to watch what we're putting in here. And it goes along with whatsoever things are true, lovely, honest, a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, to watch what is coming at us. Psalm 118 and verse 8, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes or mayors or governors or presidents or UNs or whatever, you know, whatever groups are out there, or patriots, or, you know, our trust has got to be in the Lord. Our confidence must be in him, not in man. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world." It's a spiritual battle, and that's what's been preached to us. In Proverbs chapter 3, and in verse 26, second to last verse, Proverbs 3 and in 26, "For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken." There's no amount, I mean, again, I'm not coming against having guns and ammo and that sort of thing, but if they come for me, I could have a house full of guns. And if that is where my confidence is, I can assure you, I can't hold them back. You know, the whole city of Nazareth, town of Nazareth, took Jesus out to the brow of the hill to cast him down to kill him. And he didn't have weapon one on him. And when they grabbed him to throw him up, then it says that he passed out through the midst of them. He just walked out. You know, they had him like this, getting ready to throw him off at, you know. He's the one I want my confidence in. Hallelujah. And then in Hebrews, to close, in Hebrews 10 and in verse 35, very familiar verse, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. And I just want to remind us that the work of righteousness is peace. The effect of righteousness is quietness and confidence. He quiets our hearts. The stirrings in our head, all those things that are rolling around, the things that are coming to us from out in the world or closer, like our family relationships, our work relationships. He quiets our hearts, and the effect of righteousness is confidence. It gives us a confidence that we are in Him. And when we are walking in Him, then He directs our paths. He leads us. He gives our steps a place to go. He gives us the words to speak. When they take us out to the brow of the hill, should it be His way of doing it at that time? Then we just walk out. And whatever the case may be, He is our confidence. I wanted to encourage our faith, because it is our faith that's being challenged in these times. It's what Satan is going after. He's going after dividing and then weakening our hearts by going after our faith. And in these last times, He says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, and then walk in that love of Christ. That love is so deep. Paul prayed that we may be, that we may know the height and the depth, the breadth, the height, depth. He gave four dimensions. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, and that we're to be rooted and grounded in, yes, the scriptures, but it says that we're to be rooted and grounded in love. In other words, that's where our stability is. That's where our nourishment comes from. We're nourished out of that. So in these times, that's what we're called to. We're called to prayer. We're called to making our requests known before God with thanksgiving. We're called to praying in the Spirit, to walking in that love of God, and then to reach out to others with that love, and then some of them, kind of give them a kick, pull them out of the fire. That's right. That's what it says. I'd like to... Of course, we're not going to have an altar time in this service, but I'd like to give a time of quietness and prayer. If you'd like prayer for sickness, I think we can do it. If you just raise your hand and I'll pray and I'll ask you to do that. And then everybody can stay where they are, but you can reach out in prayer to that person who's raising their hand. Amen. And the Spirit of God is not hampered by distance. He bridges the gap. He bridged the gap between your sin and His righteousness by His sacrifice. And He can bridge this gap, of a couple of pews. Amen. So, Lord, we come before You with thanksgiving in our hearts, making requests. Lord, we bring our need before You, our sicknesses, the pressures that we feel from not being at work or from family members who have a particular need. And we come before You, Lord, in faith, knowing that You are the faithful One and that You are able to produce Your work in others as they receive You. Oh God, we bring our country before You, our leadership, and all those who have a particular agenda. Lord, we just ask that You invade their hearts by the Holy Spirit, and we rebuke those powers of darkness that would desire to bring our country down, that would desire to muddy the waters in our churches, to stir up people's hearts into confusion and into unrest and into fear. Lord. You've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Help us, Lord, in our need.